This is Liberation Radio.
Capitalism needs poverty.
A world run by a handful of greedy bankers and CEOs who nobody elected can't possibly last.
Whatever we could do, we're gonna do, especially in continuing to preserve this earth.
Each week, we bring you interviews, commentary, analysis, political developments, and struggles affecting workers throughout the country as a way to build the movement for socialism in the United States.
The revolution will be broadcast.
The only thing that will ever defeat racism will be the defeat of its parents, capitalism and imperialism.
Without smashing mass incarceration, working people of all nationalities cannot have justice.
Liberation Radio is brought to you by the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Welcome to Liberation Radio. I'm your host, Sean Garcia. On this episode, we discuss Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro's response to Obama's declaration that Venezuela is, quote, an extraordinary threat to U.S. national security. But first, we are playing part one of a presentation where Ben Kambamba, a Congolese youth leader, provides a history and update on the resistance movement against neocolonialism in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We will be playing part two and three of this presentation in the coming weeks.
Bonsoir, je suis Ben Kambamba.
I'm going to translate for him. Good evening. I'm Ben Kambamba.
Je suis Ben Kambamba. Je viens de la République démocratique du Congo.
I come from Democratic Republic of Congo.
Et le Congo, c'est au centre de l'Afrique.
And Congo is in the center of Africa.
Et c'est un grand pays qui a la dimension de l'Europe de l'Est.
And it's a large country that has about the size of Western Europe.
Et c'est le pays le plus riche en matières premières et en minerais de l'Afrique.
And it's the richest country in Africa in terms of natural resources and minerals.
Et c'est la source aussi des problèmes de l'Afrique à ce moment.
And it's also the source of the problem of on the African continent right now.
Et c'est aussi la clé de la libération de l'Afrique à ce moment.
And it's also the key for the liberation of Africa right now.
Et notre pays a été colonisé par le Belge.
Our country was colonized by the Belgians.
Et avant la colonisation, on a été appelé l'État indépendant du Congo, qui était propriété privée du roi Léopold II.
And before independence, we were called Congo. C'était le Congo.
État indépendant du Congo.
Independent state of the Congo, or Congo Free State.
Mais
we were under the ownership of King Leopold II.
C'était compliqué que c'était la propriété privée du roi de Belge.
Yes, but it was the private property of the King of Belgium.
Et quand ils sont arrivés chez nous, ils avaient trouvé, nous on était organisés, on avait le roi, il y avait le royaume Congo, il y avait le royaume Lunda, le royaume Kuba, le royaume Luba.
And when they came, the Belgians came, they saw that we were organized, there are different kingdoms. Congo, Luba, a number of our kingdoms were in place already.
Et ils ont dit qu'ils nous ont amené la civilisation pendant que nous on avait déjà notre roi, on avait notre culture, on avait notre armée.
They said they brought us civilization, but we already had our own culture and our own society.
Et après, on est rentré dans la colonisation.
And after King Leopold II, we entered into a phase of colonization.
Et dans la colonisation, les caoutchoucs étaient plus importants que les vies humaines où on avait perdu plus de 6 millions de Congolais.
And then under colonization, rubber, for example, was more important than human life, of which we lost about 6 million.
Et après, on va rentrer dans la colonisation et le peuple congolais, ils sont allés en Belgique pour combattre la Deuxième Guerre mondiale pour la libération de la France et de la Belgique.
During the colonial period, Congolese went to Belgium to fight, Belgium and France to fight in World War II for their liberation.
Et ils ont oublié ça, on n'en parle pas.
They've forgotten that.
Ils ne parlent pas de
ça. And they don't speak about it.
Et après, nos grands-pères, ils ont commencé à lutter pour l'indépendance du Congo, où on va arracher l'indépendance en 1960, le 30 juin.
Our forefathers began to fight for independence after the World War II period, which they were able to accomplish in 1960.
Et nous avons acquis notre indépendance et nous l'avons perdue 6 mois après jusqu'à aujourd'hui.
And after gaining our independence, we lost it 6 months afterwards. Which we have not regained to this day.
Nous l'avons perdu le 17 janvier 1961.
We lost it on January 17th, 1961.
Et après, les États-Unis ont soutenu la dictature. Donc, on est rentré dans une période de dictature avec Mobutu et qui a été mis au pouvoir par les États-Unis et la communauté internationale.
We went into a dictatorship under Joseph Désiré Mobutu, who was put in place by the United States.
Et après, le système éducatif, le système de la santé, toute la communauté et la société a été vraiment déchirée.
And during this dictatorship, the education system, the health system, the society overall was basically the fabric of the society was torn apart.
Et après, les États-Unis ont décidé d'aider le peuple congolais pour essayer de se débarrasser de Mobutu.
The United States decided to, after the United States decided to help Congolese people by getting rid of Mobutu.
Et ils ont aidé le Congo en soutenant le Rwanda, l'Ouganda pour envahir militairement le Congo pour se débarrasser de Mobutu.
They aided Congolese by backing the invasion of Congo by Rwanda and Uganda in order to get rid of Mobutu.
Et la meilleure manière d'aider les Congolais, c'était de demander aux Congolais qu'est-ce que vous voulez. On les aurait dit qu'on veut des élections libres, transparentes et démocratiques, mais ils ont choisi les armes.
The best way to help us would have been to ask us what we wanted, and we would have told them that we would have wanted that we wanted elections that are free, fair and transparent.
Et ils ont amené l'armée rwandaise et ougandaise dans notre pays. Ils ont créé toutes sortes de choses que le monde ne pourrait pas imaginer aujourd'hui.
They brought the Rwandans and Ugandans, Rwandan and Ugandan militaries into our country, and they created all kinds of chaos that you really couldn't begin to imagine.
Ils ont enterré les femmes vivantes et les enfants.
They buried women and children alive.
Ils ont violé les femmes.
They raped women.
Et ils ont commencé à exploiter les minerais systématiquement.
They systematically exploited Congo's minerals.
Ils ont réinstallé l'esclavagisme. On était devenus esclaves chez nous-mêmes.
They basically reinstated a form of slavery. We became slaves in our own homes.
Et la ville où je suis né, c'est la ville la plus stratégique du Congo.
The city in which I was born is the most strategic city in the Congo.
Et c'est la ville de Kisangani où Lumumba a eu le sens de son combat.
It's Kisangani, and it's where Lumumba had his base, his home base.
Et dans mon ville, il y a eu l'armée rwandaise et ougandaise qui se sont battues pendant une semaine.
In my city, the Rwandan and Ugandan armies fought each other during 1 week.
En 2000, ils se sont battus en utilisant les armes non conventionnelles, les armes lourdes dans des quartiers résidentiels.
And they fought each other, these two militaries, in residential communities with unconventional military means and heavy artillery.
Et 6 jours après, quand vous sortez, vous pouvez remarquer qu'il y avait des corps, des enfants, des femmes, parce que les enfants étaient à l'école, en rentrant à la maison, les femmes, les enfants, les grandes personnes, des corps étaient presque partout dans la ville.
And after the battle, you could go in the streets and you can see the bodies of women and children. You know, children were at school and they were all over the city.
Et les corps même s'est décomposé, vous pouvez constater qu'il y avait des chiens qui mangeaient le corps humain.
And bodies were decomposing in the street and you could even notice that dogs had been eating the dead bodies.
Et il y avait même par exemple, chez nos voisins, une balle a tué quelqu'un et on est sorti sous les balles pour aller l'enterrer dans la maison. En fait, il n'y avait pas moyen d'aller enterrer ailleurs, on l'a enterré dans la maison. Et après la guerre, la Croix-Rouge est venue déterrer les corps pour aller enterrer ailleurs.
So, people were even killed in their homes by, you know, bullets were fired into homes and people were killed in their homes. And there wasn't a means for them to bury the bodies outside of the home, so they actually buried them in the home itself. And it was only after the heavy fighting or the conflict that they were able to take them elsewhere and give them a proper burial.
Les militaires prenaient la population comme bouclier. Ils venaient se cacher dans des maisons.
The military used the civilian population as a form of defense.
Et les ennemis pourraient lancer une bombe pour détruire et la maison et les habitants et les militaires. Les militaires pourraient fuir et, par exemple, chez nos voisins, une bombe est tombée, tout le monde était mort, à l'exception d'un enfant.
So the enemy can fire into into homes, for example, or shoot bombs into homes, and where the civilians were and the military were. But what would happen is that the military would escape, and only the civilians would be left and suffer the consequences. For example, right next door, in our next door neighbor, a bomb had dropped on the house and killed everybody in the house.
Et le Congo était divisé en plusieurs parties. Chacun pourrait donc chaque personne avait son groupe rebelle et tout, qui avait la connexion ailleurs et tout. Il y avait beaucoup de parties de rebelles.
So Congo was really divided. You had different rebel leaders that had their militia groups throughout the Congo. So it was divided.
Il y a eu des pressions de par-ci par-là. Les gens ont commencé à parler et tout. La communauté internationale a décidé d'aider les Congolais.
So there was pressure for people to enter into talks. And the international community decided that they were going to help the Congolese by pressuring folks to enter into dialogue and to talk.
Et pour aider les Congolais, ils ont décidé qu'on puisse faire les dialogues entre Congolais en Afrique du Sud.
And in order to help, the international community decided that we should have the inter-Congolese dialogue in South Africa.
Et l'aide qu'ils ont donnée aux Congolais, c'est remercier les chefs de guerre en leur donnant le pouvoir au Congo.
And the help that the international community gave to us was to reward the militia leaders by giving them posts in the Congolese government.
Ils vont encore nous humilier en faisant quatre chefs de guerre comme vice-président et un autre chef de guerre comme président.
They further humiliated us by creating what they call a 1+4 scheme, where you had one president and four vice presidents, and giving the rebel militias, each rebel militia, a vice presidential post.
Et nous nous sommes organisés, et maintenant, j'ai quitté ma ville, je suis allé à Kinshasa. On va maintenant s'organiser avec le jeune encore à Kinshasa.
I left my city of Kisangani to go to Kinshasa now. And we're going to begin organizing with the youth in Kinshasa.
Et dans l'université cette fois-ci.
And in the university.
Et on a commencé maintenant à réfléchir quelle voie on devait prendre. On devait avoir une ligne idéologique, on devait avoir une ligne de pédagogie.
So we began to reflect on which path we were now going to take. We have to have two lines, or two paths, two foundations. One is ideological foundation. And the second is a pedagogical foundation.
Et nous avons dit, si on doit prendre les armes, ça ne va pas résoudre. Il faut prendre quelque chose qui est plus que les armes.
We thought to ourselves, if we did take up arms, that wasn't going to resolve anything, and we needed something more powerful than weapons.
Et on a commencé maintenant à étudier ceux qui ont fait quelque chose pour changer quelque chose dans leur communauté ou dans leur société.
And so we began studying those who have come before us, who have done something to transform their society, their communities, to transform their society.
Et on a constaté une chose.
We noticed one thing.
Tous leaders qui nous inspiraient, ils étaient tous morts.
All the leaders who inspired us, they were killed. They were dead.
Mais ils étaient morts, pas pour eux, mais pour les autres.
But they died not for themselves, but they died for others.
Et nous avons compris que pour bien faire pour les autres, on doit savoir que ça a beaucoup de risques et on va mourir pour ça. Et nous nous sommes engagés dans cette voie-là.
So we've understood that in order to fight for others, it's going to involve a lot of risk and may ultimately lead to death.
Donc, le leader qui était là, qu'on avait trouvé, il y avait Kwame Nkrumah.
Some of these leaders that we looked at that fit in this category, they include Kwame Nkrumah.
Il y avait Patrice Emery Lumumba. Il y avait
Frantz Fanon.
Et ils nous ont inspirés en fait pour dire que le Congo c'était l'Afrique.
They inspired us so that we arrived at an understanding that Congo is Africa.
Et un peuple africain, c'est un peuple fort et un peuple qui est né libre.
And un peuple africain.
Un peuple africain, c'est un peuple fort et qui est né libre.
African people is a strong people, and once they're free.
Il est né libre.
Oh, and they're born free.
Et il a été envahi, et nous avons la mission de les libérer de cet envahissement qu'ils ont aujourd'hui.
And Africa was invaded, and our mission is to liberate the African continent from this invasion.
Et c'est pour cela que vous allez voir qu'en Afrique, il y a des peuples qui sont encore colonisés, mentalement et physiquement dominés, mais il y a des individus qui sont libres et réellement libres comme nous.
So there are people on the African continent who are colonized mentally, and there are people generally are colonized mentally and are suppressed. However, there are individuals who are free, such as us.
Et c'est à ce moment-là qu'on a décidé de commencer à communiquer avec les gens pour les rendre aussi libres comme nous.
And it is this moment we decided that we're going to be communicating with the population so that they can be liberated as we were.
Et nous avons compris que la lutte n'est pas facile, c'est très difficile. Beaucoup d'entre nous sont déjà morts d'ailleurs.
And we understood right away that the fight wasn't easy, that it was very difficult, that it's very difficult. And a number of people already among our group have already lost their lives.
Et que la libération du Congo, c'est la libération pour toute l'Afrique.
And we understand that liberated Congo is a liberated Africa.
Again, that was part one of the presentation by Ben Kabamba. And to learn more about the Congolese struggle, you can go to www.friendsofthecongo.org. Next, we speak with Danny Shaw, a professor in the City University of New York and organizer with the ANSWER Coalition. We speak about the recent executive order put out by Barack Obama calling Venezuela an extraordinary threat to U.S. national security and what that means for the Bolivarian Revolution. So, Danny, on March 9th, Obama made an executive order stating that the Venezuelan government was, quote, an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and foreign policy of the U.S. What's the significance behind the heightened aggression towards the Bolivarian Revolution?
Well, it's clear that there's no base whatsoever to this claim that Venezuela somehow constitutes a threat to the people of the United States. It would be more accurate to say that Venezuela constitutes a hope to the peoples of Latin America for so long oppressed and exploited by U.S. imperialism, and also really a hope for the humble forces of the world. And in a letter to the New York Times, the Venezuelan government laid this out precisely to counter U.S. claims. And the truth is that the United States is the greatest threat to peace across this world. The United States now has 7 bases in Colombia with more than 2,000 special agents. So if you look at the history of U.S. foreign policy towards Latin America and the Caribbean, it's clear that Venezuela is not the threat, it's the United States that's the threat. So they're very, very hypocritically flipped reality and history on its head, trying to confuse people in terms of who is the victim and who is the oppressor.
And so how can the Obama administration really justify this blatant attack against the sovereignty of the Venezuelan government and its people?
Well, there's absolutely no justification. The Obama administration has supported coup attempts against the Venezuelan people before, against the democratically elected governments, first of Hugo Chavez and now Nicolas Maduro, as well as coup attempts, some that were successful in Honduras and in Paraguay against Lugo, in Ecuador, an attempt that the people were able to resist, as well as Bolivia. Venezuela's true crime from the perspective of the United States is standing for the self-determination of Latin America and all oppressed people, with a foreign policy that's united the countries of ALBA against imperialism. Venezuela constitutes another pole, an anti-imperialist pole of resistance, with CELAC and Telesur and Petrocaribe, all of these attempts at unity from south to south, exploited countries who are able to unite against their true oppressors. And then, of course, it's been unforgivable the steps that Venezuela has taken to nationalize its oil wealth over the years, redistribute it in the form of social programs to the masses of Venezuelan people. And this is still an unfinished process. It's only 15% of the media that's in the hands of the government of the people. Most of the media is still in the hands of private corporations. So this is the central contradiction that the Venezuelan government still faces. It's a dual power type of situation, an unfinished revolution. What we've seen in history is if you give the ruling classes, the old ruling class, any room to breathe, they're going to collaborate with imperialism, and they're going to do everything they can to reclaim their power. So we have to watch what's happening in Venezuela very closely.
And what has been the response of the Venezuelan government and other world leaders in response to the executive order that Obama put out?
Well, very justifiably so. President Maduro announced an enabling law from the National Assembly, which gives him emergency powers to take whatever actions are necessary against the counter-revolution, because this is what this constitutes. This is the same continuation of everything possible to undermine the people's power. We've seen economic sabotage with artificial shortages created by hoarding, and these laws allow the government to counter these attempts to destabilize economically, politically, militarily Venezuela. We've also seen representatives from the oppressed countries across the world stand together, from Cuba to Bolivia to Ecuador, in defense of Venezuela's sovereignty. And right here in the heart of empire, we've called for national mobilizations. The ANSA Coalition Act Now to Stop War and End Racism will be in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C., making the connections between U.S. aggression against Iran, Venezuela, in these quote-unquote endless wars that are being waged against Syria and Iraq, wars that the United States, with their imperial aggression, set in motion in the first place. So we'll be in the streets Saturday, and we're calling on the progressive anti-imperialist forces of the entire country and the world to stand with us, because Venezuela doesn't represent a threat. It represents a hope for the voiceless, for the poor, for the humble people of the world.
And finally, what's the significance of our solidarity with Venezuela at this point in history?
Our solidarity is extremely significant because Venezuela is really a shining star for anyone that dreams of a society that seeks to overthrow exploitation and inequality and unemployment, all the social ills that we're plagued with here in the United States, across this country, from Oakland to Detroit to Miami to Houston. Venezuela has been an incredible ally of the United States, of the working classes here, the oil programs and the heating programs that have helped families in the South Bronx, in Boston, in Chicago. So it's our responsibility, it's our historic duty to stand with Venezuela and expose Washington's actions for what they are, unrepresentative of the people of the United States, and very representative of the ruling class, the ruling elites, who fear Venezuela and everything that it represents.
Thanks so much, Danny. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right, we'll be in the streets.
Tomorrow, Saturday, March 21st, there will be a national action in Washington, D.C. against the Obama administration's decision to commit the U.S. to wage endless war for generations to come in Iraq, Syria, and throughout the Middle East. Here are some sound bites from the streets this week building up for this action.
This is Eugene Perrier for Liberation Radio, and I'm here with Colonel Ann Wright, who gained fame by resigning from the government in opposition to the war in Iraq. And the first question I want to ask you, and the only question really, Ann, is why is it important for folks to come out this Saturday for the Spring Rising demonstration on the 21st?
Well, the Spring Rising demonstration is important. It's the 12th year anniversary of the war on Iraq, which still continues. And we ask that people come out in solidarity to say no more wars, no more killing, that we've got to stop this warmongering that the United States does.
And once again, that's Colonel Ann Wright. Thank you so much for joining us on Liberation.
Thank you so much, Eugene.
7-8, stop the killing, stop the hate.
1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your endless war.
5, 6, 7, 8,
stop the killing, stop the hate.
This is Eugene Puryear for Liberation Radio, and I'm here with Cindy Sheehan in Washington, D.C. during Spring Rising. Cindy, can you tell us a little bit about Spring Rising and why everyone should come out Saturday?
Well, I mean, the wars are still going on, and the empire is talking about expanding more war. Iran, Syria, more war in Iraq, Ukraine. It's just insane. What Obama has been able to get away with without any opposition. And I think if you oppose war and you want an end to them, then you should come out and show your face.
And this is just the first step and an escalation, maybe it could be called, of anti-war activity.
You know, we hope so. We hope that people will finally put their principles over partisan politics. 2016 is too late to figure out who's going to be the nominees and all the political posturing and things like that. We really need to show our faces against what's going on.
And again, that's Cindy Sheehan. Ms. Sheehan, thank you so much for joining us on Liberation Radio.
Well, thank you, Eugene.
You have been listening to Liberation Radio, a weekly program from the Party for Socialism and Liberation. You can find us online at liberationradio.org to listen to past shows and connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Some of what you heard during this program are Creative Commons licensed compositions. Our theme music and some music segments were performed by Six Fingers and used with permission of the artists. Liberation Radio is produced by the Party for Socialism and Liberation to help build the struggle for socialism in the United States. The PSL is a party of activists and organizers. We are in the streets at the demonstrations and picket lines, opposing cutbacks and attacks on workers, standing up to police brutality, fighting for immigrant rights, and struggling against racism, sexism, homophobia, and all forms of bigotry. We stand in solidarity with oppressed peoples around the world resisting imperialism. We believe the crimes of capitalism call for a new kind of society, and we are committed to fighting for it. To find a PSL branch near you, see our upcoming events and learn more about how you can get involved. PSLweb.org. Again, that's PSLweb.org. Also, the PSL's Liberation newspaper online at liberationnews.org, where you can read our news articles and analysis or purchase a subscription to the print edition. Thank you for listening.